Thanks for joining me this week on Tech of Sports and iHeartRadio. And we're here with our annual chat with my friend and WTA tennis professional, Danielle Lau, USC All-American. And she wrote a book, I heard, and she's done a bunch of media. She's done podcasts, and she keeps her fans and the people close to her updated with her tennis results and her tennis year by a little newsletter and email blast. And always fun to talk with Danielle, even either on a podcast, Danielle, or just when we're hanging out. It's always fun to talk.
Yeah.
And good to see you last month. And you had a nice fall, which really kind of ended up making your year a success, I would think. You came on strong at the end of the year. We're pretty healthy. Fought through some little aches and pains, and had some good wins.
Yeah, no, it's great to finish off the year strong. I typically do have a pretty good part of the year at the end of the year, which is great. And normally players are wanting to finish up a little earlier than I do. And every year I wonder if I could cut my season a little short, but I end up playing a little longer and finding my stride a little later in the year, which is fine. I'm glad it still happens, and I'm glad I could be healthy at the end of the year.
I know it's a long year, but when you have some good results like that, do you wish that there was some more to the year? I know you're ready for a break, but you kind of lose the momentum a little bit when you start back up in January. Is that kind of what happens?
I don't think you really lose momentum, to be honest. I think you could use that momentum going into your off season and preseason, because a lot of players are quite burned out at the end of the year, to be honest. And for me, I just look at it as a great opportunity to be in a good place mentally and physically to hit the training hard right away. A lot of people are normally a little burned out. Maybe they take a couple weeks off. Maybe they take 3 weeks off, which I think it's useful and it has its place, but at the same time, you lose a little bit taking that time off, and you have to rebuild. But I'm happy with the place I'm in right now, and I'm glad that I can start the off season and all my training, real strong and in a good mental place.
Yeah, you said the word we're with Danielle Lau. You said the word off season. Not really an off season, maybe a little bit. You're still training. You're aiming towards 2020 now. What do you kind of do in the off season to break up the monotony of the other 10 months of the year or so and still stay in shape?
So this off season, I wanted to approach it a little differently. Last year, I was a little broken at the end of the year. So I did take time off, like complete time off from tennis and from physical activity, and spent a lot of time with family and friends. But this year, I was just really excited to get back into training, maybe work out a little bit more in the gym. I did dumb down the tennis a little bit to give myself a little more time, off court to do the fitness things, the strength things, and also to have a little more time to do all the mundane things that I normally don't get to do during the year, whether it's hang out with my family, just sit around with my dog a little bit. I recently threw a bridal shower for one of my closest friends, which I wouldn't normally be able to do during the season, but I'm happy I was able to do that for her a few days ago.
Yeah, I know about your enthusiasm for technology and for gadgets. Anything new in technology wise that help you train here in the off season?
To be honest, not really. Other than like my wireless headset from Bose, like those have been like so key for me. Just getting from one place to the other, it helps me through like my tough gym sessions. It's great on the run. Actually, I have been using a Garmin watch. That's also been, real fun to look at after my runs to see my pace, see my heart rate. It has like a really rough VO2 max. we call it setting and reading. So that's kind of for me to geek out on. And of course, I just got a new phone too, the iPhone 11 Pro, and I've been taking some like cool videos and pictures. The video quality is actually quite great to assess my strokes a little bit, to see some changes, see certain movements that I'm looking for. So those little things, but the actual training, no real tools, just like maybe some accessories to help the experience, to be a little bit more fun.
What about your tennis equipment? Do you tinker with that at all in the off season?
Sometimes I do, but this season I'm not going to tinker with it. I just recently switched to the new Babolat Strike, so I'm happy with it. I kind of like the change from the old model. It's a little bit more solid, so yeah, I'm not looking to change from that. I'm just gonna stick with it. And I love my string patterns too, and so no tinkering right now with that.
This year I'll start off with heading to Australia. You finished fifth in the USTA Wildcard Challenge, which means you'll have to play the qualifying in Australia. I know you've done that before. You don't mind doing that. What do you do on the long trip down under? And once you get there, the jet lag, any tips and tricks or anything you use to help you get through that?
On the way there, I have a few podcasts lined up to listen to. I'm not a really big movie watcher because I get a little motion sickness sometimes. I also like to journal a bit, to write here and there, maybe come up with a nice topic to put on my blog, then I'll like kind of work on that. And getting there, yes, the jet lag isn't actually that bad when you arrive there. For me, it's more when you come back, it's a little tougher to adjust. But normally I just kind of manage my caffeine intake and maybe take a little melatonin at night. Again, my headset's helped me a lot to kind of pipe down if I want to do like a brief meditation or like listen to some nature sounds before I go to sleep. That helps a little bit, but otherwise it's just about managing whatever you intake in terms of like caffeine. And even when you have dinners, and also when you have breakfast too, I think those are two key meals that really help you to like wake up or to kind of settle down into like, your piping down stage.
When you're on the road, are you a music listener? Do you watch TV? Are you the Netflix person? What do you do to kind of your alone time to pass the time?
I'm a podcast person, actually.
All right.
So Netflix. I'm really good at binge watching them, but it's a little tough on my eyes too. So I try not to get hooked on a series or. Yeah, on a TV show. And, when my eyes are tired, it's tough to play tennis for me. So podcasts are usually good for me. It can kind of, I can rest my eyes, but also, like, amuse my mind.
Yeah.
And music, for sure. I have, like, Spotify Premium, and it's great to kind of surf around and listen to the new tunes.
I got a little quick hitting list. We'll go through some quick questions here, one sentence answers or so, and we'll see what makes Danielle Lau tick. So now that you've played them all, Danielle, your favorite Grand Slam tournament?
Wimbledon.
Your favorite WTA event? You didn't know I was going to get you with these, did you?
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. What which one do you kind of feel comfortable at?
Auckland was really nice. Mm-hmm. And I would say the Korean Open because I just love Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I love the food there. I didn't play Tokyo this year, but I did have fun last year. I love that city. So.
Yeah, I hear they have some good. I hear they have some good Wagyu steak over there too.
Oh man, yeah, one that broke my wallet.
All right, here's a tough one. Your favorite USTA Pro Circuit event?
Macon, Georgia.
Oh, wow, that's good. Your favorite snack when you're on the road? I know you're a snacker.
Boom Chicka Pop popcorn. The kettle version, the purple one, sweet and salty.
I know you're a wing person. Your favorite city for wings, or your favorite wing place around the world?
Obi Bear in Los Angeles. It's in Koreatown, so it's maybe like 30 minutes from where I am, but they have the best wings.
What makes them so good?
I think it's the size of the wings and also their sauce. It's got this like chili paste, but it's also soy garlic at the same time. It's amazing.
When's the last time you binged ate at a fast food restaurant?
Oh, a very long time ago. I don't even remember.
Or the last time you went through the drive-through at a fast food restaurant?
Oh, a very long time ago. I just choose not to eat if that's the situation. I mean, in California, we're real big on In-N-Out here, but
yep.
I haven't had In-N-Out in a couple years.
Wow.
To be honest.
I've had In-N-Out more recently than you have.
Yeah, no, I haven't had fast food in a long time. Normally, I just wait it out.
Now that you're a dog person, what's the best thing about having a dog?
Feeding him peanut butter, he makes the cutest face. So maybe also taking pictures with my new phone.
That's
pretty fun.
You are an official dog owner because you take enough pictures now. So
it's fun. I think I look at his pictures more than I look at like mine or my family's or my boyfriend's. I look at my dog's pictures more.
Your favorite and the most reliable airline that you like to fly?
Oof, Southwest.
Yeah, good one here in the U.S. This one's kind of hard to ask, but the one, I hate to ask it, but a type of opponent that you like to see a first round match against, or you don't like, and one you don't like to see a first round match against? You don't have to name people, but something that you notice about a first round opponent that makes you think.
Someone who I don't want to see is probably a lefty.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people say that.
Yeah, is a lefty. Somebody I want to see is someone who doesn't like to play long points.
Okay. And last thing, you can't say a tennis player, but if you had to work in tennis in some capacity other than being a touring professional, what would you want to do?
Other than a touring professional, what would I want to do? Could I be a manager?
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah, an agent or a manager for somebody?
Yeah, I think an agent or a manager. I don't know if I'm at that coach level yet. Like, I'm not sure if I can handle that yet. But yeah, an agent or a manager.
Okay, and you're closer. I hate to say it. You're closer to 30 than you are 20 now. That's no secret. What are your goals maybe for the next 2 years for playing? Anything. I know you like to take it kind of one thing at a time. So what?
Yeah, of course. But I'm not gonna lie. I do have goals.
Yeah, I mean,
if you don't have something to write down, you don't. I don't know what you're doing. I would like to play in the main draw of every slam.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And the other goal that's maybe a little bit more like numeric is that. You know, want to be top 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two good goals, and definitely there's a path for you. Wrapping up here with Danielle Lau. As we head into 2020, Daniel, you do a great job keeping your friends and the people that maybe you do housing with, your friends and whoever else follows you. You keep them informed on kind of what you're feeling, what you're going through with the emails and the newsletters. How important is that for you to keep doing that, and how much satisfaction or enjoyment do you get out of that with not only doing it, but the feedback you get?
For a little bit longer, I really do value all the relationships and all the people I've met over the years. So it means a lot to me to stay connected with everyone. And I know, like, in this social media, you know, time, it's all about likes and like how many people interact with you. But for me, when I send these, you know, these newsletters out, when I post on social media, it truly is what a message that I want to convey, and just I just want to make everyone proud and hope that whatever message that I send, it is completely honest. And you know, I want people to know that, you know, I'm thinking about not necessarily what everyone wants to hear, or like, I'm not only going to report the good things, I'm going to report the bad too, and I just do that to honor the journey that I'm on. And yeah, it's great that everyone follows along, and I'm always real pleased to hear when people appreciate the honesty and the authenticity that I try to convey.
Yep, it's refreshing when you or any player does that, because we get to see a side of you that we don't see on the court. And my mom's got a goal for you if you're interested in that.
Okay, does it require aces?
More aces. That's all she said. Two words. More aces. So I.
Does she have a number for me?
That she doesn't have a number. She doesn't want to put any extra pressure on you. So.
Okay.
So, but you probably knew that was coming anyway. So.
Yeah.
We appreciate following you. We get enjoyment out of it, even when you're playing in the middle of the night here on the East Coast, and. Thanks for coming on. You got some great followers and great fans that I like talking with and hanging out with too. So we're all kind of a team behind you, and keep doing as best you can, and keep doing great, and look forward to 2020. Have a great holidays too.
Thank you.